This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. We do know we're having a few little minor technical difficulties. The little sound bumps have a little bit of scratching. That's kind of like we're doing that on purpose.
It's the Christmas. It's the sleigh bell.
It's the sleigh bell effect. Yeah, sleigh bells in the, well, you know, we appreciate you listening to us. But we're working on getting it worked out. Cal, you know the button in the front that says on and off? You just turn that one to off.
That'll solve the problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO, 855-529-7234. Again, 855-529-7234. If you want to comment on some of our cases we're talking about or comment on the case or no case that's coming up, this is the most exciting, entertaining, and only sometimes informative show on earth. Remember, we're talking about general topics of law. Don't seek counsel. Don't listen to us unless, which is the time. This is the time of year. You're around the dinner table with the family and you get a they-sayer. What's a they-sayer? A they-sayer is, well, you know, they say. And then what you say is, well, Radio Law Talk, Todd Kuhnen, Denise Dirks, and Fred Penny say as follows. That's the time you can use us, right, Denise?
Yes, we're persuasive authority.
Yeah, when it comes to the dinner table. And that's about it. But don't take us to court of law. We're going to talk about the Vanessa Bryant case.
But not any other room in the house.
Yes. No, I think the bedroom is a good place to talk about us.
Well, no, that's just not where we're persuasive authority.
No, I was thinking the same
place,
thing.
It's a good place
to talk. It's not where Cal works.
Hey, unless you have a copy of the bathroom reader.
Well, Radio Law Talk, dear, let me tell you how this works. According to Todd, Denise, and Fred.
Yeah, not doing it.
Oh, you've just ruined my life. It's like, what do you mean? Well, I'm thinking about Todd, Denise, and Fred, and not you. There you go, right? Elizabeth Holmes, speaking of which, we're talking about Elizabeth Holmes' trial. We're going to talk about the Maxwell trial, the Weinstein. There's some very interesting stuff about Weinstein. Todd's cracking up here. We're going to talk about Scott Peterson. And then the thing we're going to do that everybody cares about. Nobody cares about all that. They only care about case or no case, Cal, don't they? Is that all they care about?
Now it's time to play.
With the scratchy sleigh bell.
It's not that bad. You can live with that.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Because there's no way I'm going to get it figured out before the end of the show.
No, I know, but we're having fun with it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Carrie had modest career ambitions. She wanted to become a hairdresser, that's all. As she lived in Oregon, the school she wished to attend was in Washington State. But here's the problem. She was homeschooled, and the cosmetology school in Washington said, "We can't even consider you as a student unless you show us proof that you graduated or a GED certificate." She said, "No, I have been graduated." The school said, "Prove it." So Carrie went to an attorney who specializes in this kind of stuff and said, "I'm being discriminated against by a school accredited by a federal agency. So, do I have a case or no case?" Todd and I, oh, wait, no, it's Fred. Fred gets to give us his shot on this one first. Mr. Penny?
This is easy. Super easy one. This is not a case. This is a scenario has absolutely completely made up by Mr. Hunter while he was on the toilet reading this.
No,
reading
something. Come
That's
on.
Has nothing to do with any case. It's absolutely a false little statement that you're making. You were probably sitting there getting your hair done and thought, you know, I know a good thing we're going to do. We can say when someone wants to get their hair, gets their license. No, it's not a case. Has nothing to do with the law. And you just made it up.
So no reality there. Mr. Kuhnen, what say you to this whole thing?
Well, I'm listening to Fred's justification here. He started out with, it's something you thought while you were on the toilet, and then he said you were getting your hair done, and now I can't get the image of you getting your hair done while sitting on a toilet out of my head.
Happens all the time.
A little off the top there, sir? Yes, please. Okay, so... Tell you what. I'm going to say, and now we've lost Cal. I'm going to say that this is a case because I seem to recall something out there in the there being an issue about having to give credit to homeschools, and this was litigated. And so I say that this turned into a case, this was a case, and that the student who wanted to go to cosmetology school, because I realized that cosmetology school has such a rigorous academic standard and program for getting into those schools, I'll say that this is a case.
Well, you have to, once you get in, you have to learn anatomy and anyway.
Yes, but the head is here.
Yeah.
We don't cut hair anywhere. So, yes, I will say that it's a case, and the student trying to get into cosmetology school wins.
All right, fair enough. Denise, what do you think about this? Other than strategically, I can see you plotting the strategy of this, but what do you think about the veracity of the case?
I don't think you need a GED to get into cosmetology school, and I also believe that if you go to cosmetology school, it has to be the state in which you are going to practice, because it's a licensing and not an accreditation, and you made it up.
Wow, you guys are just all over me today, aren't you? Okay, well, here's the true fact. The true fact is this. This is something that actually happened, but the matter was resolved by the attorney that's correcting the Washington school, because there is a reciprocity agreement between Washington and Oregon.
No case.
And so he said there is... No case.
So yeah. He never filed it. He just called up, placed a call.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Or wrote a letter.
Yeah, wrote a letter.
Denise, you and I nailed it again.
Sure did.
We're so smart, Denise. I don't know what happens.
Well, next hour, we're going to go into Todd's area of expertise. We're going to step onto the movie set and talk about the production process. Mm-hmm. And that's next time,
you know,
on
the
case or no case. What?
You know, the irony is they both won, and they were both wrong in their analysis.
That's true.
You said you made it up, and you didn't. And Denise said it's an accrediting issue in state, but it really was an issue. Just a lawsuit never got filed.
But we said the correct thing. It's not a case. That's what we said. And we could have said,
Have to say what happens if it's not a case.
Right.
We have to say what happens if it's a case.
Right. We're just filibustering is all we're doing.
Okay. All right. All right, Buster.
Mr. Buster, filibuster. And that is your case or no case for this hour.
Cal.
We thank you for listening to it.
Thanks, Cal.
Sure.
So, Vanessa Bryant, everybody knows what happened with Vanessa Bryant's husband, Kobe, and her daughter. And just so you know, you know, I have to be very careful because I'm in the middle of a helicopter accident case that I'm dealing with. But, you know, it's a sad situation what happened here. In the Calabasas Mountains is where the helicopter crashed. I know exactly where that is. I fly into Van Nuys, California, quite often, which is just around the corner from Calabasas Canyons. Calabasas is a beautiful town, by the way. It's got some beautiful homes. It's a really nice place. But the case settled, and it's undisclosed. And she dropped her lawsuits officially. Everything's done, and that's the way it should normally be done, right? Most of the time, cases do settle out of court.
What was interesting about it is that they actually settled, I believe, in June, but it wasn't going to be settled until there were certain conditions met. So we know that this was a conditional kind of a judgment. And once all those conditions were met, then she dropped the case, and it's going to be a private settlement. I don't see ever that this is going to make publicity, because that's just not what she's about.
Yeah, I think they probably, but did they sign a non-disclosure agreement? I don't know, and that's sometimes they have you sign a non-disclosure, but who knows? We'll be back after this. We're going to talk about Elizabeth Holmes and that trial.
This is Radio Law Talk, and we thank you for listening to us. We'll be back in a bit here. Stay tuned for more Radio Law Talk. It's coming right up after we break away.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have around today, I don't know what I do. And I know this place right down the road. Quick, quack, car, walk. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quack, car, walk. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car, walk. They'll have you looking sharp.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182. Again, that's 800-238-9182.
If your loved one has passed away due to COVID-19, pay close attention to this message. You could be entitled to a death benefit of over $300,000. The U.S. government has set up a fund to pay families relief if they've lost a loved one due to COVID-19. We know this is a hard time for you, and this fund has been set up by the federal government to help ease your pain. The compensation includes a death benefit and lost wages benefit. Time is limited, so we urge you to make a free phone call right now. There's no cost to you for this claim. All legal fees are only covered once you receive your money. So if you've lost a loved one due to COVID-19, call the legal helpline right now to find out if you qualify for a cash.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
So I don't know. You know, we've got a lot to talk about. We got the Elizabeth Holmes trial, the Maxwell trial, Weinstein. Which one do you want to talk about, Elizabeth Holmes or Maxwell? Because they're both very interesting, guys. You know, I'll
defer to Denise. What do you want to talk about, Denise?
You don't care?
Well, I'm doing my job here. I'm writing down our topics.
Okay. I'm going to talk about Holmes. That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So Holmes has been on the stand for, days, and this trial has gone on quite some time, and it's wrapping up. I think it's going to wrap up next week. And again, we brought up, this is the Theranos case about the issue of fraud, whether or not she defrauded the investors and was lying about the, you know, what this machine of hers could do with the blood. Don't forget, this was a machine that supposedly could take a drop of blood and tell all kinds of things. So we don't, it comes down to, you don't have to go in there with a big needle and draw blood. It starts out, the history of this is she never liked to do that, and it kind of freaked her out, and she tried to figure a way to remedy it, which, by the way, is okay, because that's what entrepreneurship is I want to make something better. I want to make the widget better. And I'm even going to go out on a limb and do something that's just crazy that a lot of people said can't be done, right? And we always bring up the thing, who would have thought a microchip the size of your thumb has got the power and the ability and the storage that in the 1960s took up massive rooms, right?
Yeah, when I was a kid, and just a more simple example, when I was a kid, and I remember my friend had one of these things that was awesome. It could multiply and divide and add and subtract. I think it was called a calculator.
Right.
And I remember wanting to use those, and I remember my teacher saying, well, you're not going to have a calculator with you everywhere you go, so you need to learn how to do math. And now I literally have a calculator with me everywhere I go. It's on my phone.
And Texas Instruments heard that and developed a watch in which there was a calculator as well, shrinking the electronics even further. Yeah.
I remember, do you remember, again, we're going to go back nostalgia here, but remember, I never forget my computer in college, not in law school, in my undergrad. Wow, you had a big, I had 30 megabyte hard drive.
Ooh.
30 megabyte hard drive.
Fred Penny, the envy of all his
friends. Wow.
I didn't have computers in my undergrad.
Yeah.
I didn't have computers until my last year in law school.
Wow.
So we were using Corrasible typewriting paper.
Oh,
and I had a one-page destructible memory in my typewriter.
Yeah.
Do you remember those days?
Yeah, IBM's a dedicated word processor.
It was those IBM Selectrics, right? That's what they were. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. It was, but it had one page, and I couldn't take the bar with that typewriter because it had a one-page memory.
And it was tough because back then, with Denise, the law was still changing. The Constitution hadn't been passed yet. And so
that's Cal. You're thinking of Cal.
Oh, with Cal. Yeah, that's right.
There wasn't a law. There was just the Ten Commandments.
Okay, got it.
On a tablet. So Elizabeth Holmes. So we're prefacing this about Elizabeth Holmes because you can see where we're going. We are not on her side. We're just, because the evidence is coming out. But it's just sometimes you wonder if these failures and her quote exaggerations of what she believed that her, you know, little machine could do is going to stifle or you know, throw cold ice on entrepreneurs out there trying to do new things, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. And one of the things about this, when I've kind of listened a little bit to her testimony, is it is so typical of witnesses not to be able to distinguish about time. What did I know at that time? What do I know now? Do you know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. happens in almost every case that you come against that, well, at that time, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? It comes down to, and again, we're not, but there is some stuff that they're bringing up evidence of emails that where she kind of basically knew that, okay, this is not doing very well, but she's exaggerating it. But is it exaggeration or is it just puffery and trying to build the positive of her business and her machine?
Was she being hopeful, right?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Well, I think of it. We're on the trail to do this. I can put it out there like that, maybe.
Puffer. Yeah, optimistic.
Yeah.
It's going to get there.
Look, I've never seen a full episode, but I've seen little snippets here of that show Shark Tank. You ever seen that?
Yes.
And look, everybody that comes in and asks for money of the sharks, almost always the sharks say, well, what do you plan to do with the money that I give you? And or if I enter this deal with you, and sometimes it's for marketing, but oftentimes it's for further research and development so you can further develop the product because we're in whatever stage we are now moving forward. And what I really haven't heard so far reported in the Holmes trial is, all right, you got $9 billion, you got all this. Well, what was it during your pitch to have people invest. What was it you were proposing to use the money for? Because that's a lot of money that these folks are giving up, venture capitalists. They want to know, what do you use the money for? And if it came out that, we plan to use the money for further research and development, what should every investor know when you say that?
So you're saying the product's incomplete.
That it's not complete.
Yeah.
If they say, oh, we're good to go, we're just using this to market it, that's different. But again, it gets back to a point that Fred has raised. We've talked about this is venture capital, not guaranteed return on your investment capitalization. Venture capital. And
what if it hit, Todd? What would happen? We wouldn't have heard anything about this.
Absolutely.
And they would be
nothing.
Billionaires off of it, right? This is a quote, and this is what she's doing, which is smart. And I know what her lawyers have told her, and what she probably believes her. Look. There's nothing illegal about failure, right? And she testified, quote, when I testified we could do it, I fully believed we could do it. And then she, quote, she says, there was still work to be done. Now, and so what their defense is saying is, look, jurors, she's just a simply young, hardworking entrepreneur that had a company that failed. That's not a criminal problem.
I mean, if the government wants to go after somebody, go after Solyndra that took billions from the government to make this solar stuff that never panned out, okay? Go after them. They didn't do anything. Don't go after Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah.
But that's my soapbox. All right.
And you're standing on it.
That's right.
Well, you know, it is something to consider.
Okay, we're going to be out. We're going out in 30 seconds, but join us back here at Radio Law Talk when we're going to get a little deeper into the Maxwell case. That is very, very interesting.
This is Radio Law Talk, and the show will continue right after we take this break for the bottom of the hour news.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-251-7560. 800-251-7560. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-251-7560, 800-251-7560, 800-251-7560. Copays and deductibles may apply. 800-251-7560. That's 800-251-7560. Sponsored by U.S.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. A devastating tornado outbreak in western Kentucky has claimed the lives of at least 50 people, according to Governor Andy Beshear. The total could reach 75 to 100 people.
The primary tornado was on the ground continuously for over 200 miles in our state, something we have never seen before.
Beshear has also requested President Joe Biden to declare a federal state of emergency. The tornado that ravaged multiple Kentucky counties also killed people in Arkansas. The supercell has been weakening and strengthening as it has moved throughout the night and morning.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court on Friday struck down a statewide mask mandate. The state's high court said Acting State Health Secretary Allison Beam did not have the authority to mandate students wear a mask at school. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show. Are you serious?
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
So Jeffrey Epstein, those of you know, was the guy that died slash, and there's conspiracy theorists think that he was may have been killed in jail. His right-hand person was Miss Maxwell, and Miss Maxwell was, according to the testimonies, in trial now, and there's been a lot of testimony that basically she was his right-hand person and what many believed his girlfriend for years, and she would do a lot for him, and according to testimony, and she was the madam, quote, madam of the house in Florida and other houses, and you know, would instruct staff and people what, you know, how you treat Mr. Epstein. It's almost like Mr. Epstein was the king, you know, or the queen, you know, that's the way he, you know, like the Queen of England type. Okay, now this is how you don't look him in the eye, you don't do this, at least that's the way the testimony has come out in portraying her, right? And so what's happening here is they've found a number of items when they did a search of a number of the houses, of his houses, and including some what do you call it? The vaults. Not a vault. What was it? It was a safe. Some safes. And they found these black binders that have pictures, explicit pictures in these binders. And they haven't determined what they're going to show yet, right, Denise? Because the argument is basically these pictures do not depict any, well, there may be one or two, but generally most of them do not depict any of the individuals making the allegations in this case. Therefore, defense argues there's no need for any of this to show up, which I believe is a valid point.
I do too.
And so, but nobody knows what these pictures, but apparently there's just are with Miss Maxwell in some of them, I believe. But the argument is what comes in and what doesn't. And that's usually a big fight that occurs during these trials. It's an evidentiary issue, right? What comes in, what doesn't. But these, and I saw a picture of it. I actually looked it up on the internet. And they're not like little thin binders. They're thick, big binders. And they're like probably.
They're docketed.
Yeah.
They have like indexes and they're the pictures are on CDs and you know they're written on and they're yeah. got names on them and dates and oh my gosh, if there ever was a case and mind you, some of those pictures have FBI tape still on them
right.
that looks like it had been admitted in a different case.
In the
how
first
would
trial.
You get back those? You tell me that. That's yeah. incredible that is what happened.
Denise Els from that first trial, remember that he got basically got off to did some probation, right? Back in 2005 or 2006,
I think. Yes, and it was yeah. That's when he was declared to be a sexual offender.
Right.
And he had to register and all of that, but they didn't say that. Like nobody's tied these pictures to the exact case yet.
Yes.
And it's very strange. I mean, I found that to be one of the most interesting things about this.
Let's say some other interesting things. So they came in to the house. They raided the house basically.
The FBI,
and they couldn't get in the safes, and they went back to get a court order. They subpoenaed, right? Well, what do you call them? Not the warrant. The warrant
yeah.
for the. And they came back 4 days later, and it was gone. There was nothing in the safe, right, when they opened the safes. But then later, the lawyers for Maxwell.
Epstein.
Oh, no, who did? Epstein, that's mm-hmm. right. Whatever the lawyers brought those things
two
back.
Two suitcases full of stuff
yes,
back.
Yes, Epstein's lawyers.
Do you think they washed them?
Well, you know, here's one of the issues for the lawyers. When I was a prosecutor, I used to prosecute I used to prosecute the child porn cases where, mm-hmm. you know, you get these traffickers and I'd have to prosecute them. And thankfully, I never had to look at a single image
right.
the entire time. I always relied on what the investigator said it was and trusted that, okay, as long as I'm not having to present it as evidence at a preliminary hearing, a trial,
right.
I'm not going to look at it.
Right.
I'm just going to rely on the description. But there were serious safeguards when you would have discovery. Discovery in a case is like, as a prosecutor, I have to turn my evidence over to the defense so that they can prepare
right.
their defense. But when it came to those images, those are released with a protective order, and they sign out, the attorneys sign out for it, and at the conclusion of the case, they have to return everything. They can't make any digital copies, and if they do,
right.
they get into a lot of trouble. So I understand
who's
why.
Who's they?
Attorneys.
Yes, okay.
That's, so I understand, so I was getting there, Denise, why these attorneys yeah. might have put these in a suitcase to take them back, because if those documents were released to any attorney and they showed that those documents left their possession or control while it was entrusted to them for a case, they don't want to pay the piper because this stuff left their control. So I see why they would want to maintain control. I will deliver this to the government if I have to deliver it to them. But I don't want to get in trouble because this stuff was out there on my watch as a lawyer.
But the real
why
question
did they
is,
take it in the first place? That was the part that made me a little crazy.
And how do they know the stuff they got back is a complete filed everything that was in that closet.
Well, they don't.
Is now
they
back
don't.
To them.
They don't. But yeah. One of the things that I don't know the answer to, because I don't do crime law. So, Todd, I'm asking you this. At the end of a case, when it's gone through the appeals and all that stuff, after the court says we're going to release the evidence to somebody, who do they release it to?
Well, it depends. Usually there's a property release and the prosecutor will sign that directs the evidence locker, whether it's held at the sheriff's station or the police department, whoever's got that evidence, they'll issue a property release saying, please dispose of this evidence pursuant to law. And there are code sections. So it's like if there are images, for example, those don't get turned back to the party those are destroyed. Sometimes firearms are destroyed. Sometimes, you know, drugs, if they have those are destroyed. But they're all disposed of pursuant to the specific code of regulations that applies to certain types of evidence to be dispersed. And the property folks know how that's supposed to be dispersed.
Okay, got it. So, okay. It's different for us because the party that introduces the evidence gets that back at the end of the trial.
Well, that's a little bit different. I'm talking about seized evidence, evidence that is seized by law enforcement as part of a case pursuant to a warrant. Fred, you said they got a warrant for something. If something is seized and it's sitting in the evidence locker, that's one thing. If there's evidence at trial, like pictures that are not child-related or anything, just pictures of an accident scene that my investigator, if I took pictures of it, and I introduced that to evidence, well, at the end, the court would give that back to me.
Got it.
Those images, but certainly nothing.
So once they're seized, are they considered public records?
No. No, they are in the possession of law enforcement.
That's it. Okay. All right. Well, that's fair.
So this case is still going on. Once some interesting things, obviously, Miss Maxwell has not testified. I don't think she's going to testify. Have you heard that she's going to testify? I don't know. I don't think she's going to.
As a defense attorney, I'm thinking, what could she say that would help the case?
Nothing. No. And so,
what could she say that would hurt her?
A lot. Yeah. So the main thing is that's interesting is through her attorney, she has basically acknowledged and said that she has never had any relationship with anyone without their consent, let alone not even a minor, and she had never seen Epstein have any relationships, I'm going to use the word relationships, with a minor. That's through her defense.
Through her attorney to the jury. I'd be surprised if any court let those statements be published to the jury without her taking the stand.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know what the deal is, but it comes down to this thing's going to go on, and it's going to last a little while. So we're gonna talk more about that when the time goes. Anything else about Maxwell that you guys noticed that was interesting on that case? I thought that was just very interesting to follow this.
I thought the foot rub photographs were certainly relevant that they put in there, and all of that kind of stuff that showed she and Epstein together in what could be considered potentially compromising situations. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand the relevance of that so much.
They're just kind of trying to show what she. The prosecutor's argument is that she was the madam and took care of him and was the one that facilitated everything. And I guess those pictures shows what she was close to him. The question is, how close was she?
You've got Epstein's conduct clearly bad on one side. You have Maxwell on the other side. All of these are links in the chain to connect her to him.
Got it.
Right. Then they can get their case, and that's why.
Yeah, because their argument, Maxwell's arguments. Look, I'm not the scapegoat for him, for Epstein, and that's what you're trying to do is make me the scapegoat for him. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. We've got more Radio Law Talk coming right up, right here.
Stay tuned for more Radio Law Talk. It's coming right up after we break away. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Ross back here with Fred.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission nor more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Investors, listen up. There's been incredible demand in the market for companies focused on strategic mineral exploration. And right now, mineral discovery groups are piling into British Columbia's prolific Golden Triangle due to the massive discovery potential. China's economy is slowing down. Consumer goods remain in short supply. Pandemic-induced disruptions continue to affect global supply chains. And now the markets are bracing for interest rate hikes. All of this reads like a recipe for paying attention to companies focused on precious metals and in-demand minerals. Find out about the hottest companies leading the charge to revolutionize the multi-billion dollar mineral exploration market for free when you text the word HOT to 71441 for your free subscription to DearWallStreet.com. Text the word HOT to 71441 now to get information on these hot companies that we've identified. Get free intelligence on this hot market delivered directly to your mobile device from DearWallStreet.com when you text the word HOT to 71441. Text and data rates may apply. Text HOT to 71441.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Stop whining. You're a whiner. Are you serious?
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
We're going to continue on and talk a little bit about the... We were going to talk a little about Scott Peterson, but don't forget, coming down the pike is really interesting, is about court packing and the commission that Biden appointed and what they said. That's going to be some really interesting topics we're going to discuss later on down the line. But those of you who don't remember who Scott Peterson is, it was an actually bizarre situation. And then we're going to get into, oh, really quick, Denise, why don't you just really quick talk about Rose McGowan's dismissal, or was that Utah that
we're
going to
talk about?
No, that
was me.
Yeah, why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, that was me.
Let's get into the Peterson.
You know, we always tell our listeners to seek local counsel, and we do that because it is super important that you know your rights, you know the law, and that's going to help you in any legal matter that you have. In Rose McGowan's case, it appears that she, at some point, her and her attorneys parted ways, and there were deadlines in her case that had to be met, and she became self-represented. She did not meet those deadlines, and the judge in that case against Weinstein for sexual rape, I believe it was, it was actually not a criminal matter, it was a civil matter, but the judge dismissed her case because she didn't meet a very important deadline.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then what's interesting is it sounds like there was some disagreements with her and her attorney, but she just dismissed her lawyer. Well, I don't know if the lawyer left, but
You got to be really careful in doing that. You know, you should dismiss a lawyer if they're not doing their job. But if you're jumping around from lawyer to lawyer, you're going to find in our case, the insurance company's lawyers are going, what's wrong? Is there something wrong with that client? Jumping all over the place. And like you said, if you don't have an attorney, though, what happens is very similar to this, right, Denise? Is look, you don't know all the little nuances and all the little dates and times and things that have to occur. And
absolutely. And you're held to, as a litigant, you are held to the same standard as if you are an attorney when you are self-representing. And that's the reality of what the law is. And almost, I think it's in most states the same.
But don't you guys, let's talk behind the scenes now. This is what's great about listening to Radio Law Talk. But don't you think when they're improper by themselves without a lawyer, the judges get a little more lenient on them than if you're an attorney?
Certainly in family law.
But yeah. When I was a DA, I did a couple of trials with people that chose to represent themselves. And they get the lecture from the court when they're letting their attorney or public defender go that, hey, this is an attorney who knows the law, he's been to law school, he's been doing this for a number of years, and you're going to be held to the same standard as that lawyer. I understand, judge, I understand. And then they go forward, and yeah, the judge is helping them out every step of the way. And rightly so, because as a prosecutor, I never objected to that. And it goes back to what we always talk about, Fred, preserving the integrity of the conviction. What good is it going to do me as the prosecutor to get a conviction if I'm doing end-arounds against somebody that doesn't really understand the law? Look, if the judge is protecting everything, DAs don't win cases, evidence wins cases. I just present the evidence, let the jury do their job. And I got no problem with that. So that happens all the time.
Yeah, it does happen all the time. And unfortunately, in this case, I wish it would have gone to trial and all of that, but I don't think one of the biggest risks when letting your attorney go is that the strategy that was developed from the beginning of the case also goes. And that sometimes can be fatal.
That's true. But one thing to keep in mind, though, is this case wasn't about whether or not Rose McGowan was sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. That allegation was made, and they reached a settlement about that back a long time ago. This case was about McGowan wanting to publish her memoirs, and then Weinstein hired a bunch of attorneys to come in and try to essentially shut it down. And so she sued Weinstein for racketeering and what have you. And so that's the lawsuit that got tossed, was her suing Weinstein for his efforts to try to keep her from publishing the memoir.
Was that because there was non-disclosure agreement?
Yes.
In the settlement, the previous settlement?
Yes. Right. So now they're all back to square one. And I guess the question is, can she publish the memoir now? Or because nothing got resolved, is she still under the purview of the NDA?
I think what's interesting, these NDAs are signed, which I don't like NDAs, by the way. But you know what? Okay, you signed it. Now you want to go ahead and have your cake and eat it too? You know, that's the problem. You know, they wouldn't have written a check to you for that amount if you didn't sign the NDA. A lot of times when there's an NDA is because they're writing you a bigger check than they should be writing.
Yeah, that's true, but I'm going to argue the other side. If it's an NDA, that should be void as against public policy because it's making somebody not disclose criminal acts, for example.
Right.
Then perhaps that is not enforceable. That's what the other side are.
True, that could be true. Yeah, a lot of NDAs, believe it or not, are not enforceable, believe it or not. So that's why you got to be very careful because they can't be forever, too, right? A lot of the states say you can sign an NDA, but it's not forever. So anyway, speaking of interesting people, let's talk about Scott Peterson. This is in California. I remember when this was going on, this case. I remember watching it. Lacey Peterson was his wife that was pregnant with his child. And just disappeared, and didn't they find her outside the ocean in the bay?
Her body of her and the child washed ashore. They found her in the bay.
Crazy! It's just sickening that you know just what happened. So anyway, go ahead, Todd. He was found guilty, right?
That's right. He was found guilty at trial, and the prosecutors were seeking the death penalty. And it's interesting. When it comes to death penalty case, unlike any other case where the jury decides guilt or innocent and the judge imposes sentence, in a death penalty case, they have the guilty or innocent phase, the guilt phase, and then they have the penalty phase where the jury is the one that makes the determination whether or not to impose the death penalty. And that makes screening those jurors during the pre-trial process of voir dire, jury selection, it makes it very important to make sure you understand as lawyers what the jurors' views of the death penalty are. Well, Scott Peterson got the death penalty, but then ultimately on appeal, the Supreme Court California found that the judge at trial didn't do a good job of screening out and allowing for questions based upon jurors' statements and beliefs of the death penalty, and because of that found that the penalty of death should be overturned. And so he was recently resentenced to life without parole in prison, not the death penalty, and that happened this past week.
Yeah, it's very strange because it feels like the cart went before the horse in this case, because now they have challenged the underlying evidence that of his conviction, and that matter is going to be heard, I believe, next week. So it feels like they dealt with penalty first on appeal, and now they're dealing with the evidence on appeal. It's very strange.
People, again, this is... I'm just talking out loud, right? Why is it, okay, I'm going to fight the death penalty again. They don't want to die, but I'd rather spend the rest of my life in prison until I'm 80 or 85, right? What a way to live. I don't know.
Well, from his perspective, and I'm just outside looking in, Peterson has maintained his innocence the entire time.
Right.
And like you said, Denise, there is the hearings that are coming up challenging the underlying evidence and possibly trying to get a new trial based upon recently discovered evidence or mistakes that were made, whatever. That's coming up in a little bit. So I understand somebody who is on death row saying, look, I want to challenge the death penalty, because although there's a moratorium on it right now in California, that's probably good for only as long as the current governor is there. And if a new governor comes in and decides to lift it, I want to have time to continue fighting whether or not I'm really guilty because I think I'm innocent before I have to go, you know, walk the green mile there. So
has there even been a death? Cal, you usually know this. Has there been someone that's been put to death in California in the past 50 years?
I think it's been 3 years. So that had a guy named Tookie, a gangster in Southern California, who went in and shotgun slayed a Korean couple that ran a hotel. But then he went and wrote a children's book, so they thought that should get him off of the death penalty. He did not.
Well, that's 3 years ago. Governor Newsom goes. Must have been before Governor Newsom.
Not in Newsom's time, no.
Okay.
No.
All right, we'll be back after this. We're going to talk about California. Mom being charged with her kid hitting another kid in sports, and we got another kid hitting another kid in sports, and the parents being liable. In the Michigan case, the parents they're going after them for the kid shooting people, your kids in high school. This is crazy. We'll be back after this.
Lots of interesting stuff coming up next right here on Radio Law Talk. We hope so. Stay tuned. That's next hour at 6 minutes after. We will resume the broadcast, and we thank you for listening to us, however you're doing it, and we'll be right back.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the
government, or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.